Okay. All right. So we're doing two pieces here on Tfila, one that's a little bit longer than the other one. The other one is very short, but I think they're both very worthwhile. We're going to start with the first one first. This is, you know, it is coming from Chelik Dalet, from the fourth Chelik of Ithilio, and which means by definition that it may be a little bit deeper than some of his other pieces. I'll tell you up front that the first piece, I'm almost a little bit hesitant to do the first couple of paragraphs because there's a very tough message in it, which the way I processed it myself was kind of by softening it, and I was going to have. That's the way it's going to work for me, and so we can get out of it something that, like I said, you know, that works for us, that works well. Okay, so let's see. But you know, like I said, it has a tough message, but then it ends up with a whole different idea, which is very, very beautiful. Not that a tough message isn't beautiful, it's just it's a very high standard that he holds us to for davening. And it gives us something to strive for, and let's see what he has to say. Okay? Mitzvos hatzluyos b'madregos ayona, so I'm just reading the title. Mitzvos that depend on madregos ayona, on being at a very high level. Gidrei atfila, parameters atfila. The first paragraph. Mitzvos nitnu l'chol Yisrael. Mitzvos are given to everybody. L'chol madregosayim, on all levels. V'lo olam ein omrim, we never say, chakei wait, asha degila madrega plonit, so you reach a certain level, but the kind of mitzvah to do, and then you do this mitzvah. We don't say that when it comes to mitzvahs. It's Judaism 101 is Nikes, right? Just do it, right? Do the mitzvah. Is that still a slogan? Or am I just dating myself when I say that? But anyway, I guess I'm dating myself. All right. What? Still is? Yeah? Still is? Just do it? Yeah. Okay. Anyway. But just do the mitzvah. We never say, well, when you're a certain level, then you do the mitzvah. We do say that for certain things that are not mitzvahs. You know, that maybe minhagim or chumras. So you may say, well, you're not there. That's not something you have to do at this point in your growth and development. But a mitzvah, a halacha, you got to do it. And we're not talking here about kiruv, where someone's coming not from background, and we don't dump everything on them at one time and say, well, you have to keep, you know, oh, you know, it's, you don't know anything about Judaism. Well, you should know that Shabbos, you have to keep 39 avmalachos and about, you know, 1,000 toldos, and then there are another few hundred derabbanan. No, we don't say that to them, and we get in the process of growth. But at the same time, you should know that even in kiruv, if somebody asks a mentor, "Am I allowed to drive on Shabbos?" You can't say you're allowed to. You have to tell them, "No, you're not allowed to." You can't teach a halacha that's not true. Maybe you don't tell them right away that you can't drive on Shabbos, or you integrate him into the halachos a little bit at a time so that he can get used to it. But if he asks, someone asks, you have to answer the emet. You can't lie. You can't say something is mutter when it's usher. But so when it comes to practical mitzvos, as a rule, you just do it, right? Achzeh nemar al achitzonis ha-mitzvah. But that's only said regarding the external aspect of the mitzvah. Kemase shavah l'chol echad. Because the deed, the act of the mitzvah is equal to everybody. Whether it's Moshe Rabbeinu or the smallest person, katan does not mean a child. It means someone's on the smallest level. Moshe being on the highest level, and whatever Jew, whoever he is on the smallest level, they both have the same obligation and have to go through the same motions when it comes to a mitzvah. Avatochen mitzvah, but the essence of the mitzvah, upnimiyusa, its inner life. That you don't achieve unless you're on a certain spiritual level. The Yeshua mitzvos, and there's some mitzvos, she efshel lahasi is penyusan, but cannot achieve their inner aspect, ela madrega gavoa mod, unless one is on a very high level. Achas mehen, and one of those mitzvos is tefillah. One of those mitzvos that a person can't really get the essence of the mitzvah, unless one has a very high spiritual level. Tefillah requires one who wants to master tefillah, for someone to be able to imbue themselves with the inner meaning of tefillah, someone has to be in a very high level. Okay, so tefillah believe Torah Toeva. Let's see what that means. The pasuk says, Meisir azam ishmoa Torah, gam tefillah sa Toeva. Very strong pasuk in Mishlei. One who turns his ears away from hearing Torah, his tefillah is to'eva. To'eva means an abomination. It's not just like, it's not great. It's like, his tefillah is an abomination. It's bad. So Rav Dessler comments on this now and says, in tefillah he rak shemevakshem Hashem ma sherotzim. His tefillah is only about asking Hashem what one needs. Kasha l'havin pasuk zeh. It's hard to understand this pasuk. Am I in a Torah tefillah? What does hearing Torah have to do with tefillah? Tefillah, I turn to Hashem and asking for what I need. Avalim tefillah he davar hatoli b'madrega. But a tefillah is something that is not just asking for one thing, but it's really something that depends on one's spiritual level. Hainu that is lasis bitui, that is tefillah is to give expression, the she'ifa, to a desire. La'alos b'avodas Hashem. Tefillah is giving expression to one's desire to grow in their avodas Hashem. Olavakesh shimenu, and to ask of Hashem, lishmor osom en hamafriya me'avodasu, to protect him from those things that will disturb his avodah yisbarach. V'shi yizkel esyad eshmaya, one is asking for divine help, yedei sheyuchal l'ovdo b'li ikuvim, that one should be able to serve Hashem without any kind of impediment. Az efshalahav, and then we can begin to understand shalei tachem b'li Torah, that it's not possible without Torah. And I'll explain this a little more in a moment. But he's saying that He just gave us the key to understanding what tefillah is, that ultimately, tefillah should be, not like this for everybody, but tefillah should be about what spiritual growth. Even when asks for material things, even when asks for health, to be health so that I can serve you, Hashem. Even when asks for money, material things, so that I can have the peace of mind that I need in order to be able to serve you and to learn your Torah and to do your mitzvot and to be an Eved Hashem. So it's not that we don't ask for material things, but the material things should be, and we've learned this on a number of occasions, should be as a means to be employed for a higher purpose and not just as an end in itself just because we want material pleasure. And then we can begin to understand that Torah plays a role in our tefillah. V'chein katz ha-maral, v'sefer nesivos olam. Nesivos olam. Maral writes, Ki im eina adam shoef l'Torah l'mitzvos be'emes. If a person is not striving at all for Torah and for mitzvos, b'chali, but with one's whole heart, eich yitachen, how is it possible? She's palas siyo l'ruchnis. How is it possible that he's going to ask for help in his spirituality? He's not focused on his spirituality at all. He's not. That's not one of the things that play a role in his life. If someone does not have a desire for Torah and for mitzvot and avodas Hashem, then his davening by definition is just going to be a material request for material purposes. It won't be about anything spiritual. Why? Hari ein adam is palel elama shumargish shu chiyunilo. A person only davens for something that he feels is critical to his life. The nachas lo b'yotzer is very important. V'adam ha-meser azam v'shmo ha-Torah. Someone who turns his ears away from hearing Torah, harizel la'os, it's an indication, she'en lo chelik v'shiv l'Torah Hashem. He has no craving and no aspiration or drive for Torah Hashem. V'eich tiyat filoso, tefillah, and how could a tefillah be a tefillah ma'achar v'huva in a shof l'ruchniyat, since he has no desire for spirituality and spiritual growth. So, again, if the definition of tefillah is what Rav Dessler tells us, it's an opportunity going to express one's aspiration to grow spiritually, and therefore one is asking whatever one is asking for so that it can be free to serve Hashem in a spiritually meaningful way. If that's the definition of tefillah, then someone who turns his ears away from hearing Torah, has no interest in Torah, and has no interest in really in spiritual matters, then his tefillah will never achieve that definition of tefillah that we just gave. And therefore, his tefillah on a certain level, and I'm going to do my best to soften this because I need to soften this, but first I'm going to say the words, that at some level his tefillah is meaningless. Because he hasn't achieved the inner core of tefillah. The inner core of tefillah is to daven for spiritual growth and to harness all of our requests for material things for that purpose. If a person has no focus on spirituality, his spiritual life is not a focus, that it's not a focus for him. It's not something that he pays any attention to. then his tefillah, his davening would just be with material things for the sake of material things. Okay? Yeah, that's a good question. But even that, should be, on some level, the same idea. Because why are you davening with somebody else? Because you are disturbed at that person's physical, lack of physical health. You care about them. And that's something that weighs on you. It weighs on you. You daven for that so that, A, that person, you're thinking about that person's avoda, and you want him to be able to serve Hashem. You think about your avoda, and you want to be able to serve Hashem with peace of mind. And there always has to be this kind of end game that if Hashem hears your tefillah and heals that person, that will be a spiritually meaningful experience for you and an opportunity for you to continue to grow in your relationship with Hashem. Right? Okay, so that's why we can say that the tefillah is not meaningful if one does not attach himself to Torah. Aval toeva, but the pasuk is referred to it as toeva, as an abomination. Lama tefillah se toeva. Why is that an abomination? Bir maral, the maral explains, kizeh shaliba rachuk mitorah, one whose heart is distant from Torah, vadesh et filoso in ela al inyan haguf. So certainly his davening is only for material matters. But tefillah hamagushim toeva, and tefillah hamagushim, and that materialistic tefillah, toevi v'hechruch is by definition an abomination. Kamosh et tefillah hashikor toeva. Halachically, the tefillah of a drunk person is an abomination. Why? Kashikor avat zichlo, the shikor, the drunk person, lost his mind. V'nisha ragufa, all that's left is his physical self. V'gashmis hashim gashmis. And involving oneself, or immersing oneself, or requesting gashmias, just for the sake of gashmias, he's shekev ara, that's inherently false and evil. The nimisel nehegos baruch hu, and it is repulsive to Hashem. Now, I just want to take a moment to pause over here, because, again, I feel there's a need for us to process this on our level. Should we suggest that, therefore, someone who is not immersed in Torah should not daven? Because he's not on this level. And I think I can say the answer is Chas V'Shalom. And I don't even think Rav Dessler would suggest that. Everybody has to daven. So you say, well, the person is not focused on Torah, and he's not focused on spiritual matters so much. He's not a spiritual person at this point. Maybe he shouldn't daven Chas V'Shalom. First of all, everybody needs to daven. Second of all, davening itself could awaken a person's spirituality and lead to his spiritual growth, even if at this point, he's not. The fact that he's davening, connecting to Hashem, is meaningful in and of itself. So what box do we put this idea that someone who's davening is not for spiritual things, is not, he's asking for gashmis for the sake of gashmis, that's tefillah is a toeva? The box that I put it in for myself, and I'm not saying this Rav Dessler means, it's not for me to say, but the way I can process this, is that kind of the way Rav Dessler taught us about Bechira, that once you've achieved a certain level, then you look down at that lower level, once you've mastered the higher level, you look at the lower level, you say, that lower level is crazy. It's meaningless. It might even be an abomination. So for someone who achieves tefillah in the way it was meant to be achieved, as someone who reaches that level where tefillah is what it should be in the sense that it's for ruchnias, it's for a spiritual life, and he's asking for material things only in order to be able to improve his spiritual state of mind so that he can serve Hashem. That person has achieved that and has come to an understanding that's what tefillah is. He may say, wow, the tefillah that I davened yesterday or last month or last year when I was not on this madrega, that was an abomination. It's, ugh, what kind of tefillah is that? Just to ask Hashem for physical things. Let's say you come into Kadosh Baruch Hu, who cares only about your ruchnis, and he cares about you, but so that you can be a spiritual person, that you can be what a human being can be. Not, you should be an animal, you should be a human being with your neshama and achieve great heights. So you look at that and you say, that was such a low level of maturity, that was such a corruption of what tefillah is, that you may say it's a toeva. It's an abomination. But someone who's on that lower level, of course you encourage him, daven. And whatever you ask for is meaningful. And if what's important to you right now is a shiny red bicycle, that's great, you're davening, you're talking to Hashem. What's important right now to you is a is a jaguar, then, you know, maybe that's a nebuch on you, but that's what's important to you right now. At least you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about it, right? You're talking to Hashem. And if it's important right now to use your health, but not because you're going to, you realize how important it is in order to do the mitzvahs you need to do. You want health, you want money. You're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's great, and that can be a pathway towards spiritual growth. But once you're on that high level, and you realize what tefillah really is, you look at down at that tefillah, at your old tefillah, if you will, where you just daven for physical things, just to think of physical things, say, how did I ever have the chutzpah to talk to Hashem that way? Hashem, just give me things, material things, because I want to, because I'm a Baal Taiva, I'm a lustful person, and I need these things in order to fill my lust, so please help me. It's absurd. There's an absurdity to it. But it's not absurd to the person who's on that level. It's only absurd once you've surpassed that level. So, certainly, once one has surpassed that level, it's easier to understand how that lower level reaches a certain degree of absurdity that turns it into a distortion of what tefillah is. It's really a very distorted tefillah. Yeah. Okay. By what?
So, uh-oh. So tefillah to me is there's two kinds, you know, tzachah, which is what I know more of. It's just a little tiny part that I say from my heart, what is it that I need from Hashem? But the rest of it is gratitude, thank you, praise.
Tefillah is about, when we talk about tefillah, we're talking about Shemoneh Esrei.
Right.
That's right. Shemoneh Esrei has 19 brachos, of which 16 of the, of which 13 of them are requests.
And they didn't take as much.
Okay. But to the extent that there's a request in there, there's bakasha. There are requests in there, and use this to help yourself define any time you make a request of Hashem, because. Well, there's all kinds of other things that was. Well, when asking for spiritual things, they're pretty good shape. If you're asking for spiritual things, it's only for spiritual purposes. So you're right. We're talking about Bnei Yerushalayim, right? Or Makabas Chacham Yisrael, we're asking Hashem to gather the exiles and to return to Yerushalayim. You know, so all those things pertaining to Yerushalayim is a little bit easier. But when we ask for Rafa'enu, when we ask for Baruch Aleinu, we're asking for Parnasa, right? So we're asking for things. We're asking about tachonil adam das. We're asking for wisdom, right? So wisdom. What do you want your wisdom for? I want my wisdom because I got a really big deal coming up. I have heavy negotiations going on for some really, really big business deal tomorrow. Hashem, please give me the wisdom that I need in order to ace it. You know, so then that is what it is. You know, and like I said, it's meaningful for someone who's on that level, but someone. But the hope should be for a person to go beyond that and to recognize that when he asks for das and he asks for panasa and when he asks for food, he's asking for good health, all those things that he's asking for. Or Shema Kaleinu, where he inserts his own personal request for whatever it is that he's requesting. That's important for him right now. The job that he's interviewed that he's going on tomorrow, whatever, all kinds of things that people are going through, challenges in life, and they rightfully turn to Kodesh Baruch Hu to help them navigate it. Yeah, you know, there's a whole bracha of that. The bracha of Goli Yisrael is really about challenging and navigating the challenges, the personal challenges that we face. So why do I want to do that? Do I just want to have a good life because I like having a good life? Or do I want to have a good life so that? And that's the question that he's addressing with you. What is it? And have you come to understand that life is so that I can serve Hashem, so that I can learn Torah, so that I can involve myself in the mitzvot that Hashem wants me to do, without restrictions and without impediments getting in the way. So if it's the latter, then that's a meaningful feeling. That means that's referring to someone who does not turn his ear away from Torah. That's someone who listens to Torah, someone from whom Torah, whether it's learning Torah or the values of Torah and how Torah defines who we are, is important to him, and he defines himself by that, and that will guide his kavanah with tefillah, and that's great. But a person who has turned his attention away from that, that's not a focus in his life right now. Spiritual growth is not a focus. It's not his list of things to do. He has a to-do list of things that he'd like to accomplish. And spiritual growth is not one of them. So why is he asking for all the things that he's asking for? He asks for them because he wants them. That's why he's asking for them. So so that relative at higher level would be considered tzuva. It's abomination. Okay. Yes. All right. That's what he says in the third line at top. Avalam Vakish makes his Shem is Baruch Shiitin lo Tavosa. If all he's asking is for Hashem to have fulfill his type of Ritzonosa v'apchusim, is his pathetic desires. Kama zor umuzar huza. How zor, how strange that is, how removed that is from what it should be. V'kama mo'osu, and how most, how disgusting it is. L'vakish davar nivza kazeh, to ask for such a lowly thing, me'itziz baruch from Hashem, shu kadosh v'tachas ha'kdush for Hashem, who's the ultimate kedusha. V'chein v'ever m'sayim ha'moral, v'ever the moral concludes, v'adet fila k'mozo, such a fila, t'o'evil kadosh baruch hu, is an abomination to Hashem, who kavyach ha'meisur azno, and Hashem, so to speak, turns his ear away, v'shemos, from hearing it, k'mosh adam meisur atmo, like a person would turn himself away, v'lahabit, from gazing b'davar on something, ha'matuv etzel, which he finds repulsive. So, again, I can only understand this. Once someone is on that higher level, this is the way to view that lower level. But tefillah, I think we should encourage everybody to daven on whatever level they're on, in the hope that that will help them grow to daven and to ask for things in a more meaningful way. All right. Ikarini had tefillah. The main idea of tefillah. So if he's according to this, Mishavas Kushi, so does Binyan tefillah. With this, we can understand a question that everybody has asked about davening one time or another. Many people have wondered, why do we have to daven to Hashem? If what I'm asking for is good, if it's good for a person, Hashem wants good, He'll give it to you, even if it's, you don't ask for it, if it's good for you. Vimralo, and if it's not good for the person, Eish Yitin Lo Ayidei Tzvila, why would Tzvila be reason to give it to him? Asheh Lezu, Ona Moral. To this question, the Moral answers, and this is, by the way, the number one question that anybody who's gone through any kind of process of thought when it comes to davening would have had to ask themselves that question. Why do I need to ask Hashem for what I need? So it says, the Moral, Ki Tzvila LaHashem Es Adam Hav Shechaser. Tzvila is to help a person complete that which is missing. And then Hashem hears a tefillah. Then he hears a tefillah and request. Kasher Adam who chaser v'tzorach el hashlama, he hears the request of a person who is lacking and needs completion. That's the quote from the Maram. Hagavan el v'yamvur le'el. The meaning is as we've explained earlier. Shema Adam margish chaseron of avodas Hashem. The person that feels lacking in his avodas Hashem. V'shoei felisyad v'dishmaya, and he's asking for Hashem's help. And that desire for growth, that drive is his tefillah. Az yitin lo Hashem, Hashem mevakish. Hashem will give him what he's asking for. In other words, if he wants to grow spiritually, and what he feels is getting in the way, is his lack of health or lack of parnasa, Hashem will hear that tefillah and say, okay, you understand what parnasa is all about. You understand what health is all about. Therefore, I'll give it to you. Because it is this powerful drive for spiritual growth that is the opening of the machad. We're told that all we have to do is open the door a crack, like the eye of a needle. Open it up a little bit. That opening of the crack, a person can now be worthy of the tiyat adishmaya. Until he davens, and until he expresses this idea that I need this for my ruchnius because I want to get closer to Hashem and I want to do your mitzvahs, I want to do your avodah. So then it might not be good for you because if Hashem gives it to the person, he'll abuse it. He'll abuse it. He'll use it the wrong way. He won't thank Hashem for it. He won't use it for his parnasa for tzedakah or to support the meaningful things in life. He'll just use it to indulge himself. Hashem will say, okay, I'm not going to give it to you, but if a person places himself before Hashem and understands and expresses this idea, Hashem, as we learned in an early piece from Rav Dessler, the subtext of old tefillah is, Hashem, I want to be close to you. I want to be close to you. That's what it's all about. Hashem says, oh, this is a person who understands. This is a person who will deal with these gifts responsibly. And then Hashem can give, because it's Yad HaDishmai, it's Hashem's helping the person to grow. So that's something that Hashem is more likely to grant. Okay. All right, so to the extent that we can accept this, you know, I think conceptually we can. It's just very, I think the way of expressing it is very harsh to say that if we're not on that level, if someone's davening on that level, that tefillah is tovah, is abomination. And therefore I'm just saying that to say that as an absolute is a difficult thing to say, because all tefillahs are meaningful. Just broken here, so everybody's tefillah. But relative to the high level, we can say that the lower level is an abomination. Okay. Now, in the next piece, the next paragraph, Rav Dessler talks about a couple of halachos of Shemona Esrei that we're familiar with these halachos, but he's going to ask us to think about them in somewhat more, I don't know, I guess, spiritual or poetic terms. Let's see. Hine nifsak b'shulchan aruch. We have a psak halacha b'shulchan aruch. Shulchan aruch says, she'adam lo yispala b'libo levad, a person who's not daven only in his heart, meaning thinking the davening, totally silent prayer that he's thinking. Al mechate chadvar b'sfasa. He has to express the words with his lips. Mashmiya la'azno b'lachash. And he has to make it hurt his own ears in a whisper. Has to hear what he's having. And as we know, we learn this in Tfilas Chana, that only her lips, Chana, when she daven for a child, only her lips were moving, but her voice could not be heard by Eli HaKohen, who's watching. Avval, but, Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, why are you supposed to daven loud enough that you can hear yourself? Your voice should not be heard. The person next to you shouldn't hear. You don't use your voice. He called him Ashmiya Kolo B'Tfilasa. Now we find very strong words in the Gemara about this. That anyone whose voice is heard when he davens, talking about Shemon Esrei now, how is a Miktani Emuna, he is lacking, he's on a very low level when it comes to his Emuna. The Chol Shekin Shlegdiya Kolo, surely should not raise his voice out loud. That's the Gemara tells us that. So those are the two things. You have to say it, and you have to verbalize it, and you have to hear yourself saying it, but not too loud. Not too loud. Hatam lamat tzarach levatit tfilaso b'dibur. The reason why we have to express our tfila in words, well, in audible words, we have to verbalize it. Well, daya b'kavanas haleit, and it's not sufficient. Just have kavana. Even though Hashem is barach, yodeya machshavos libeinu. Hashem knows very well our inner thoughts. So yet we have to express it. So the morale addresses this as well. Kasev moral, the morale writes, ki adam hu nefshav adam mitzad hadibur. A human being is considered a human being because he can speak. It's the ability to speak that's unique to human beings, to communicate with words. The kasher ein adam is palel mevakish b'dibur, and there a person does not make his requests. He doesn't daven b'dibur with speech. Ein kamakabel is no recipient because he hasn't asserted his own humanity. V'chein therefore tzorch shi'im mevakish chesrona b'dibur. Just reading the words of Morale, therefore one has to ask for what they're lacking in words. V'az hu mevakish chesrona mashu adam chaser, and then he is an Adam, he's a human being, but he's chaser, lacking, and he is asking for that which he is lacking from Hashem. Right. It's a little bit cryptic. Rav Dess will try to explain this to us. He will amplify on this a little bit. But those are the words of morale that is speaking, that speaking goes to the heart of our humanity, and therefore we ask for it has to be done in speech. So Rav Dess explains, he says, Be'er Dvar Zechor El Bracha, the meaning of his words, are as follows. Kibiyos adam gashmi. Since the person is physical. Koma shenisha rak machshava. Anything that is only a thought, einenu emes etzlu, is not fully true to him. He hasn't, it's not really true to the person himself. Hare anu roam, we see, shekol chisoron sh'adam estar olam be'emet, anything that the person truly feels are lacking. Humotiv peh, he expresses it with his words. Ha'adam mugdur b'chayim edaber, a human being is classified as a speaking living creature. Ha'barachamalo, the words of the Targum, a speaking spirit. Ha'akein dir p'niyuso, his inner self, einanamu meses, is not fully realized, elabedibur, unless it's expressed in words. You know, you can think of this in other areas as well. For example, vidui in Yom Kippur. We have to say it, because we even have that expression in English. There, I said it. Okay? So, because as long as we don't say it, we have it in our heads, but we don't fully process it. And we kind of can fool ourselves, yeah, but not really. Am I really owning up? Am I not really owning up? When it comes to learning as well, we process much better things that we verbalize. That's the way we internalize things. It's an interesting thing. We express it in words in order to internalize it inside of ourselves. But not because another person has to hear it, because we have to hear ourselves verbalizing it, because speaking is so fundamental to us as human beings. Speech, I should say, is so fundamental to us as human beings. And it's to the point where it defines us on a certain level as human beings. Not chasam suggests we can't speak, it's not a human being, but on a certain level, that's what defines us. And therefore, we don't fully process, we don't fully realize something, we don't fully make something true to ourselves until we express it, and therefore the tefillah has to be expressed in words.
This is just something that went through my mind. We as humans have a finally, like animals can.
Okay. Maybe that's what such people have to do, right? Aval kashim came, but then we have a problem. Lama lo gam yashmiya kolo. So why can't he use his voice? So why are we being limited? If speech is so important to us, so let us speak when we daven. And why is that a lack in emunah that we're told that if you daven out loud, it's a lack in emunah? How's that custom moral davar amak? Could this moral write something deep? Surprise, surprise. Abir, and he says, ki atfilahi, that fila is shemamin bo. Fila is an expression of the idea that we believe bo yisbarach, we believe in Hashem. Shiyata b'kashaso, that it will carry out, to fulfill one's request. The emunah bo yisbarach, here again, we're going to read the words in the morale, and then we'll see your desk's explanation. Now the morale is using very, very, how shall I say, Kabbalistic concepts. He's saying that Amunah Hashem is connected to the Madrega HaYona HaNalemet. How do I translate that? In that Madrega HaYona, the highest Madrega level, HaNalemet, that is hidden by definition. Nalemet means hidden. One who expresses or uses his voice in tefillah, he will not get to that high hidden level. Because one who uses his voice, who nishma, now the voice has been heard. And nigla, it's been exposed. The chodavish and nigla, anything that's exposed and revealed, ain adav madrega hayona, cannot attach itself to that high level, because it is hidden. And once you've brought it out and you've expressed it, you've exposed it, it's no longer hidden. And that's why the person is defined as someone who is lacking in the moon. Okay, so that's quite quick. So let's see if Ardesha can help us a little bit. The nekvar, the arnu, we've already explained. Shegeder hamadrega yona lemes. Or that's apparently speaks about this somewhere else. That the meaning of madrega yona lemes, this hidden high madrega, etamaral, is when the morale uses it. So we say, where is that high hidden level? So he says, you know where it is? It's a pnimus hatrufa hatorah. It's one's inner, most refined purity. that's inside, the deep purity that's inside of a person's neshama. That when it comes to tefillah, you want to, there's a place in each of ourselves, no matter what goes on, there's a place of purity inside of us. That's Madrei Yonah Hamas. And you want to connect and feel it to that inner purity. And even though the inner essence of the person is not fully realized unless one expresses it in an external way, either some kind of action, and no matter how you do it, either the dibur or the mouth, either in speech or in action, canal as discussed earlier. Nevertheless, Birkan Maral, the Maral explains to us here, once you bring it out into the open, into the public arena, if you will, she yoser min hamukhrachas, which is more than necessary, you know, as you said it louder than necessary, so steris hilipnimius, it disrupts the inner truth. Gedr hamunah v'adzeikas hapnimisi, because the meaning of that inner faith and attachment to Hashem, he sha'adam im Hashem is baruch levado, is when the person is with Hashem alone. V'mavadaso nikeres l'achirim, if when the avoda is noticeable to others, yad hiniskemet, it's immediately tainted. Keri adam atzmi yodeim is a, because the person himself is aware that others are aware. V'efshe shezele eshpia al dargat al l'shma shalom, if it's not possible for it not to have some kind of effect on how l'shma has a serious feel is going to be. Because now someone else is a part of it as well. So to put this in the simplest terms for us, I think there's much more to it than that. But once I'm diving louder for somebody else to hear, then now I know someone else is noticing what it's out of there. Okay, someone else is part of my tefillah, and tefillah is, as he says, is a very personal thing. It's my inner truth, my inner reality connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nobody else is supposed to be a part of that. That's it. You and Hashem. That's the beautiful thing about Shemun Esrei. Shemun Esrei, you take 3 steps forward, and it's you and Hashem. There's nobody else in the universe. But when you say Daven out loud, say Shemun Esrei out loud, you've involved everybody else in the universe, and that taints your tefillah. Because it's impossible, as he says, it's impossible that it doesn't affect the Lashma, the purity of the tefillah. And yeah, you know what? The halacha is actually different. Yeah, you're right. The halacha is different. There, the halacha is a little bit looser about davening out loud. I just think to apply this to our reality in a broader sense. Today, this notion of doing things quietly and just you and the truth is gone, right? Nothing is true unless the whole world knows about it, right? The Facebook generation, everybody has to know everything, right? It's either Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is. You have to put yourself out there completely, whether it's something purposeful, whether it's not, whether it's something meaningful, whether it's something worthwhile. The whole world has to know everything. And we don't realize how we, in the process of sharing ourselves with everybody, we really lose ourselves. I mean, we lose ourselves. There's no self left. What do you mean?
On our side,
it's
pretty
tight.
On the other side, Lapita, how?
Do you hear people
dying? I understand. You're here.
You're hearing this one, Esrei?
Yeah.
So you're not.
And it's all the different patients and different distances.
But you're not hearing everybody. They don't, apparently. but it depends on who. So you're hearing the people, some people may be davening too loud. If you can hear them on the other side of the chita. But on the other hand, even women have to, supposed to whisper loud enough that we ourselves can hear it. We have to hear ourselves.
And maybe learn to block out.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Yeah. No, somebody has to. Yeah.
Only one.
Right, only one. Okay. Yeah. Because the rest of davening is not really talking to Hashem. The rest of davening is talking about Hashem. All right? We're saying, Sugat HaZimra, that's really the wind-up, is getting ourselves into the mood so that we can daven the meaningful Shema Nazari. And there, we are inspired by each other. When we're all praising God together, inspiration. We all say Shema together. Shema is not talking to Hashem. He's making this proclamation. He's making this declaration. I'll make it together. Excuse me. Then we can be inspired by each other. So there, Dafka was told, you know, Psuki de Zimra, it's a Zimra. Right. And that's one of them. Right. All right, so we have maybe enough time to do this last paragraph, even though it doesn't deserve to be rushed. It's a very beautiful paragraph, but so we may go a minute or two over time, we'll see. Nimtza sha'adam tafus ben shtei hakitzvot. What we get out of this is that a person is trapped between two extremes. He should not, if he doesn't express himself at all in words, doesn't verbalize his tefillah, chaser b'amitas hargash hasel. He is lacking in the truth of his own feeling. Yivati yosemidai, if he says it too loud. Nivkimat taharas kavanaso, the purity of his kavan is tainted. Avokachi gedr havoda b'olam hazeh, but that's the nature of serving Hashem in this world. Adam yochol rak lishtadel, all a person can do is make an effort. Liskarev, to get closer. Tzad achat tzad, step by step. Le'ev rashlim is to the side of perfection. But, le'olam le'yagi eleh, he will never reach it. He will never reach it. Zehu amram ozal, this chazal tell us, mem tesh shari bina, is galu ba'olam. 49 levels of understanding revealed to the world. Eval shara number, the 50th one, sheyashlemus, which is perfection, lo nizgalu, is not revealed. Harekish ab Yisrael har Sinai. When Klai Yisrael stood in Har Sinai, when they said, Nasa v'nishma, right? The ultimate declaration, Nasa v'nishma, we will do it, we will hear. Mitzad Echa, on the one hand, Shibchu Chazal Madrigasam Zos Alamala Rosh. Chazal praised this to the highest degree. Kimavurba Gemara Zagemara tells us, the Chazal say that Hashem said, Migila Raza Levana, who revealed the secrets of my children, Nasa v'nishma, that's the way the Malachim expressed themselves, and they got crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. Unbelievable, Nasa and Nishma. Av mitzad acher, but on the other hand, gam bezeh hevchina chazal, even in the Nasa and Nishma of Klai Yisrael, chazal sensed, shedayni chaser mashma neshlim, is something is missing in terms of their perfection. Or b'mishpat ha-macharis, and in the very sharp way that chazal expressed themselves, Korlazeh, they refer to this lack of perfection in the Nasa of Nishma, Legonev Das Al Yona. They want it to be Gonev Das, to fool Hashem. Gonev Das Al Yona. Gonev Das, right? The Indian, and why is that? She'etzem Tzorach Havtach Al Asid. The very need to make a promise about the future, we will do, we will hear. In they haven't fully achieved that level. The way I understand this is, if you fully achieve that level, it becomes obvious. There is no need to state the obvious. The fact that it still needed to be stated meant it wasn't that obvious to them, and they needed to convince themselves and convince Hashem, yes, you really will do it. And therefore, there's something not 100% over there in what you're saying. Begam Omer Shem, but then the Gemara says something fascinating about this. Gemara says, it's not a Gemara, but a Chazal. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu nignav lahem. Hashem allowed himself to be, so to speak, fooled. He bought into it. Hainu, that means to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekabalas avodaseinu. That Hashem accepts our avoda, gam hi chaser shleimus, even if it's less than perfect. Ki yesha lavodas adam b'olam hazeh. It's the only way we can serve Hashem in this world. Serve Hashem as human beings with its imperfection. And that's tefillah. Think about this the way it started off, that if you're not on the highest level of tefillah, the tefillah is abomination. And here he's saying, we are imperfect. Mitzvah hadaresh es l'kiyum ha-miti. It's a mitzvah that hadaresh es l'kiyum ha-miti ha-madrega yosu gavoa. Really, to do it perfectly requires the highest level that's possible to reach in this world, but we strive and strive and strive for it, but really achieving perfection will never happen. So in the end, what do? The best that we can. Best that we can. So, and he finds all this in this tension between saying the words out loud, but not saying them too loud. Like it's almost impossible to do it perfectly. There you have it. Some of you are going to say it loud enough that they can even hear on the other side of the mechitza. Okay, so what happens? They blow it. They're trying. Okay, so we try and we do the best that we can, and that's all that's expected of us, because as human beings, living in this world, living in the world where there's by definition darkness, in this world of darkness. No matter how much light we bring to the world, there will always be some darkness, otherwise the world would cease to exist. And in that darkness, it's impossible to have perfection, because darkness, by definition, means not perfect.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. And we can't keep... Right, right. And you know, there's a concept of doing tshuva. You find this idea of doing tshuva every day for yesterday's level. Because yesterday I wasn't on the level that I'm on today. Right. But doing tshuva, you know, yes, if I'm growing every single day, then every day I look back at yesterday and say, "Hey, yesterday was terrible." But we have to come to terms with our humanity and act accordingly, and most importantly, to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu understands our humanity as well. And that's why he accepted Kleisel's Nasad Ishma and said that was amazing. What are you trying to do? Trick me? But that was amazing. Because it was such a beautiful thing for you to do, considering the human beings that you are. Notwithstanding the fact that it shows an inherent lack of perfection. Okay. I still want to do the next piece, which is short, but not tonight. I'm not sure I'm going to be here next week, so stay in touch. Okay? It's all of us, right? But... yeah. I'm not sure whether I want to be here next week, okay? I may decide not to be here, so we'll see.